items that we postponed from Groundfish to other business today. I don't know if there's any other business. If anybody has any, if you could let me know, that would be great, just to figure out what we're going to do with that item. So first up this morning is ecosystem-based fisheries management. Mr. Papalardo and Mr. Applegate.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. Papalardo.
So we have about an hour and a half this morning on the agenda, and we have three items, three items we'd like to address to the council. We're going to get a review or overview of the EBFM public outreach. As you know, the council hired Tom Balf, and from October 25th to November 9th, the council conducted 6 public outreach or public information workshops. So Mr. Balf's going to give us a summary of that. Then we're going to hear from Gavin Fay, who's under contract with the council, along with Dr. Lisa Kerr, on 2 meetings that the council held, one on October 13th and one on October 28th, for the prototype management strategy evaluation scoping meetings or scoping workshops. And then finally, our council, along with the 7 other regional fishery management councils, sent participants to Denver last month for council member ongoing development, and I will give some brief remarks on that experience as well. So I guess Mr. Balf is in the room and will provide a report on the first agenda item.
Okay, thank you, John. So I'm going to walk you through a slideshow that summarizes the work that that we did on workshops/listening posts in various ports throughout the Northeast. So the purpose of the workshops is building upon the outreach that the EBFM committee and Andy and the council has done for a number of years to educate the public and interested stakeholders about ecosystem-based fishery management, or EBFM, and build collateral educational materials and understand, make sure that folks understand what we're talking about and get feedback. So the intent here was to go directly to fishing ports and hear from interested stakeholders with a priority on hopefully fishermen showing up. And it was really to peel away the first couple of layers of the onion as it relates to sort of just, here is EBFM, here's the concepts and the terminology and basic understanding, and here's how we're thinking about applying not just ecosystem-based approaches, but a framework, a ecosystem plan for Georges Bank. And so the goals were engage and educate, help promote ecosystem-based fishery management, hopefully generate some further enthusiasm for the opportunities and benefits that could come from this alternative approach. And certainly, and the primary focus is to listen to concerns from interested stakeholders. So the structure, and a number of you here in the room did attend the sessions, and some of you, John, Mike Pierdnock, and Alan Tracy participated as presenters, and that was great. The structure of the workshops was roughly a 2.5 or 3 hour workshop. It included sort of 3 core expert presenters talking about those, if you can read those bullets, three topics, sort of an introduction to EBFM, a further presentation about the management framework, ceilings and floors, and then a conversation about the science behind EBFM, what data might be used and how, even though you're looking at a larger system issue, it doesn't necessarily mean that the science needs to be all that more comprehensive or challenging. So here are the presenters. On the left-hand column, folks that gave the introduction. The middle column, Garrett Piper from the Science Center, Gavin Fay from SMAST, talked about the management framework, as did Andy. And then Jake Kreitzer from NARACUS and Dr. Sissonwein, formerly of the Science Center and also this council, gave the presentations on science. And then my role, excuse me, was facilitator. And again, the role was not to facilitate the group to a desired outcome so much as to make sure that everybody felt sufficiently comfortable and that, you know, my role was to further the conversation and make sure that we fully listened to the comments, both from individuals and that also represented that particular fishing port. So here's quickly the calendar of events that John alluded to. So between October 25th and November 9th, we had six workshops in Gloucester, Portland, Chatham, New Bedford, Point Judith, and Montauk. Originally, we had scheduled an additional presentation November 10th for Manahawkin, New Jersey, but due to a variety of administrative and logistical challenges, we ended up not conducting that workshop. So the attendance was small, but large enough to be quite fruitful, actually, I think. Wasn't that we needed huge numbers. So this provides, you know, what the interested parties were that showed up in the room. In addition, we had Andy and I, and another colleague of mine, and then the expert presenters. That's not in the attendance. So more than 60 people participated. Pleased that more than half of those people were fishermen. Certainly the 17 fishermen in Montauk contributed to us achieving that goal. But nonetheless, there was pretty good representation from a variety of folks. You know, you can always like more people in the room and certainly more fishermen, but I think it gave us a good flavor for the issues impacting fishermen. If you can see these pictures, it's just a sense for the room. So in Gloucester, it was in a sort of an exhibit area at Maritime Gloucester, a working waterfront museum and educational facility, so reasonably intimate. In New Bedford, it was at the Whaling Museum, a large sort of conference room. That was a beautiful room. In retrospect, it probably didn't give it was just, given the number of people, I think the room was a little large. In Chatham and Montauk, it was in a community center, in a nice space within this community center. And at Narragansett, it was in a large conference room at Superior Trawl. In Portland, it was in a hotel conference room. So I don't expect anybody to read this. It's really just as a reminder that the outreach that I did, OceanVest did, leading up to this, these workshops, was that we conducted more than conversations with more than 40 interested stakeholders, from fishermen to NGOs, and put together a summary report on that outreach effort in August that you would have received previously and that I have spoken to. And in that, it summarized sort of positive views, negative views, and skeptical questions. And certainly the questions and concerns sort of outweigh the positive, but the positives are strong. The fundamental belief, and I certainly remain undeterred, that this is fundamentally a good idea that could advance the cause. But anyways, I just wanted to remind you that this is building upon this previous individual conversation outreach, as well as the great materials that the EBFM committee has developed over the years. So let me just walk through quickly, and then I certainly expect, hope there'll be questions about either the individual ports or issues raised later. But Gloucester was a very good meeting, and it went from a very skeptical audience to ultimately an audience that I think recognized some of the opportunities within the EBFM framework, and that saw some of the benefits and the opportunities in terms of the potential for greater flexibility for fishermen, the ability to address some issues or deficiencies in the current single species approach. The way I formatted this is that it's just some overarching comments and then sort of a message that goes towards sort of next step. And one of the things coming out of that meeting was a focus on looking at unintended consequences. What could trip up, an otherwise good management objective? Fish that go in and out of George's Bank, fishermen that fish both on George's Bank and outside of George's Bank, make sure that as we go forward looking at those sorts of issues that could trip up success. In Portland, it was a small group, a very measured, thoughtful questions from stakeholders generally who had some experience with EBFM or with the council process. And so there was sort of clear guidance, not only around sort of the benefits of EBFM and some good management objective language, but making sure that going forward, the focus is on strong management objectives, know where you're going and why you want to go there, and ensure that there's adequate guardrails for at-risk species. A lot of good conversation both around predator-prey and how predator-prey relationships would be integrated into the stock assessments and the EBFM framework. And I think more than in Gloucester, this was the first time there was an absolute recognition that this ultimately comes down to permit and allocations, and that's certainly something that's going to have to be a good bit of time spent on. In Chatham, we had a very constructive discussion. It was a number of fishermen in the room, and so it was very fisher-focused, asking good questions about the opportunities, the potential for harvesting more fish or having greater flexibility to fish with what's out there. The messaging there was certainly keep it simple as it relates to the management approach. There was also a recognition that great interest in climate change and climate resiliency and the ability for an EBFM approach to better align harvest controls and harvest regulations with what is actually happening and what fish or species are out there in the waters. This was the first meeting also where I believe there was the identification of Nantucket Shoals and a conversation around why Nantucket Shoals was in the George's Bank Ecological Production Unit, or EPU. In New Bedford, sort of a reserved meeting, fewer questions than other meetings, a little more presentation focused rather than conversation. But we did have a robust conversation around the fundamental legality and whether an EBFM approach, and I know that Mr. Neese and you have, talked about this in the past, is whether you can implement an ecosystem-based fishery management under Magnuson. And it was a conversation around whether that could be done. And certainly one person's strong opinion was that it couldn't be done without a modification of Magnuson, and whether there was any mechanism such as the mixed-use exemption to allow it to be piloted. So we had a good, reasonable, deep dive conversation around that particular issue. In Point Judith, Narragansett, at Superior Trawl, small group of folks, but really thoughtful, representing a range of opinions, even among, it wasn't tied to a particular stakeholder, a variety of opinions by fishermen even. But certainly important focus on southern species, not including Nantucket Shoals in the EPU, in sort of the beginning messaging around a fear that that this approach could, and the extension of management authority to the Mid-Atlantic, from the Mid-Atlantic Council to the New England Council, could represent sort of a permit grab for southern fish. And then at Montauk, this kind of came to an even stronger turnout and stronger opposition to the EBFM framework. It was challenging to even get through the presentations, but it was a very civil conversation, even though it wasn't necessarily it was a civil conversation, but these fishermen had very strong views in opposition to EBFM, in opposition to the inclusion of Nantucket Shoals in the EPU, and we heard their voices loud and clear. And again, this was certainly one of the purposes of these workshops, was to hear the voices. So what we heard that felt different, and when I say that, what I'm intending to mean is that, so I've done this outreach, individual conversations, and some of you in this room over the last few months, and there is a different feel when you hear the collective voices in a room representing, you know, a point of view that's tied to the culture, what fish are caught, how folks fish, etc. But one of the elements of that collective voice is, and this isn't going to surprise you, but even in the throes of what could be a very good idea, right, a sense of fatigue around ever-changing regulations, the threats of other issues that are probably higher priority, such as offshore wind, right whales, a variety, climate change, a variety of issues, an acknowledgement that change is hard and slow, and this is both the fishermen expressing this view, but also those that are familiar with the council process. Dissatisfaction with current regulations. Nobody thinks the current single species approach is perfect, but there's a comfort level with the devil that you know versus the uncertainty of a new emerging framework. One of the things that this outreach is leading to is a management strategy initiative, a prototype MSE that Gavin will speak about in a minute. Certainly, we heard some discouragement in various parts about that MSE process. And then these geopolitical issues associated with the definition of EPU, specifically Nantucket Shoals, and then issues of access and allocation issues that certainly cuts across all the New England fisheries, but was particularly pronounced in the southern ports. So I do want to, I mean, a lot of this was about hearing concerns, right, and fundamental questions that people have. I do want to stay at least acknowledge that there were positives, and I mean, and there continues to be support, for a multi-species approach versus a single species approach, and therefore incorporating predator-prey interactions in a more scientific and methodical approach rather than just integrating some factor into mortality. There was agreement with managing to stock complex catch ceilings, at least for groundfish. The focus, the ability of EBFM to focus on reducing bycatch, I think is a strong message that should be continued to be amplified moving forward. Opportunity for greater fishing flexibility and stability of catch. And we spent some time at a number of meetings, but certainly in Portland, talking about what stability meant. And I think I don't think we came to a conclusion, but it is not just about, you know, maintaining a certain quantity of harvest, although that is certainly good for the whole seafood supply, but rather it's the looking at the whole ecosystem and what can be harvested adds a certain adaptive management capacity to the entire fishing and seafood supply system, and that is what is really or could be or should be a focus on stability. And then the support for the harvesting of the most abundant species and aligning the management framework and the science with what we know is a changing ocean. So I want to remind you, this is a slide that you've seen before that talks about the process of developing and testing EBFM. And so these workshops, building on the outreach that we've done, is then informing two major next new initiatives, which is one is the prototype MSE that I alluded to, and then secondly is a deeper dive workshop where we would look at some of the core issues and the options sort of on the table. So I want to spend a little time on what we learned that could inform those two initiatives for 2023. So one is, before hosting the deep dive workshops, I guess this is sort of my opinion, but it would help to, one, provide further guidance on the National Standard 1 legality issue. I think that, we've talked about this before, and I think everybody recognizes that that is important, but also recognizing that it's a little bit of a conundrum that you can't, until you see it, it's hard to understand exactly what the legality is and stuff. But any further guidance and clarity and support for the fundamental legal underpinnings of this approach would be helpful. And then secondly, provide access to user-friendly models. So one of the frustrations at these workshops is that there is a worked example and a ecosystem fishery plan, an EFEP. And in that, explores some of the fundamental questions and then the options being explored. In this sort of peeling of the onion on these workshops, listening sessions, we weren't really able to, there just wasn't time, we weren't sure of the sort of EBFM literacy in the room, there wasn't time to really explore those. I think being able to have a tool that demonstrates that the council is, and the EBFM committee has asked and is asking and is exploring these fundamental questions with the options being considered, would both build credibility and help prepare people for the deep dive workshop. And then at the workshop, key discussions might center on the following. Certainly the definition of the Georgia Bank EPU, the scope of the species covered. There was a fair bit of conversation about managed and unmanaged species. Everybody recognizes the benefits of managing these clusters, but there's still a number of apex predators that can't be managed for a variety of mostly legal reasons. And you know, what is the impact of how do you take into consideration those species that are part of the ecosystem that they can't be managed? And I should also say, at a number of workshops, issues of pollution were raised, and I would put that in that category as well, as how is pollution factored into an ecosystem-based approach. As mentioned earlier, integration of predator-prey information and stock assessments and management. Zoe's at all the workshops, there was interest in what is the difference between biomass floors for individual species versus the current Choskyces approach. And even if it's recognized as academically different, you know, how would it make a difference to fishermen? Front and center permitting options, allocation issues, and then other management objectives, such as a number of ports, even when recognizing the current devil as acceptable, talked about the next generation of fishers and the challenge in getting young new fishermen into the system, and is there anything that an EBFM approach could do to help in that long-term objective? And then the transition, how would a transition work, or how might a pilot work? Core questions that should be explored at a deep dive workshops. And then lessons learned in informing the prototype MSE, the work that Gavin is and Lisa are working on, and we'll be talking about in a minute. As part of these workshops, we had exercises that either asked specifically following the introduction presentation, identify, you know, on a sticky note, your management objective for EBFM. What is a core management objective? Or we asked, in 10 years, what would you like as an objective for fishery management on George's Bank? So these bullets represent, with as minimal amount of wordsmithing as possible, taking those direct messages that we received at the workshop and then turning them into information for you and for Gavin and Lisa. And again, I don't think that there's any great surprises here, from ceilings and floors to looking at the single species approach now compared to a new EBFM approach, looking at managed and unmanaged elements of the system, look at what can and cannot be modified. How are you going to deal with the scallop fishery or the lobster fishery? Certainly, we have addressed in the EFEP and have been in conversation, Andy has been in conversation with the Mid-Atlantic folks and other relevant stakeholders about how a different permit approach might work. And these are some other additional areas to inform the prototype MSE. How to reduce bycatch, increase the value of bycatch, build a system to set catch limits and manage fisheries in a way that accurately accounts for changes in stock productivity driven by predator-prey relationships and changing environmental conditions. I think that bullet alone speaks volumes as to one of the desired management objectives for an EBFM approach. So with that, I will stop, and I welcome questions, any questions from the council, but also certainly any of the council members who played an important role in any of the workshops. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell, for your presentation. So to the council, any questions or comments for Mr. Bell? Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Tom, and the rest of your team for putting these workshops together. Unfortunately, I was not able to make my local one in Portland, although it seemed like it was a small group. I would have loved to have been there, but conflicting interests at that time. My first question has to do with, I know it seemed like there were some discussions about EBFM and management, but can you describe any more of the discussion about how EBFM management stream really fits in with how we currently manage? And a lot of the EBFM concepts, and let's face it, when we're talking about Georges Bank, really fits around the groundfish industry. And I'm just curious if there was any further discussion on how EBFM fits or works within the current system that we manage groundfish in. I'd just be curious to know if there was further discussion along those lines.
So, yes and no. So the answer is, it's always front of brain, this question of how would this compare with the current approach. And it was certainly at many of the meetings where there was a strong groundfish component, you know, how would it work with the sectors, for example? And it and so the fundamental question is there. What we didn't get into is any real detail. And I remember at the Gloucester meeting, for example, there was a lengthy discussion about whether this is EBFM would transition, you know, whether sectors or the ground fishing regulations would transition to this approach, or whether at least it would start or be a standalone sort of pilot that would try out a whole new way. And literally that was, again, the one layer, two layers of the onion. We did not explore materially or substantively, you know, how it would work. I believe that some of this is at least begins to be addressed in the FEP, but I think that this is the kind of work that would go into the MSE and the deep dive workshops. And I'll share with you that, you know, it was a bit, I think we thought a number of the workshops were great conversations and they were really good. It was also a point of frustration for the presenters where you couldn't get into the details because it's early days of how this would work. Right? Everybody wants to know how this would work. And again, hopefully the MSE and ultimately the deep dive workshop will provide further detail. Andy, do you want to add to that?
The only thing I would add is that early on, the council in this developing the EFEP and the process followed, early on we recognized that we wanted to explore a revolutionary approach and a new way of managing in a spatial area like Georges Bank. However, we did recognize all along that as we proceed with our workshops, our MSC process, there may be some lessons along the way that could be applied to the existing system. And so I think that kind of gets to your point that we may find that there are some things that we can do now as we proceed in the existing system that we've learned from this process.
And I appreciate that. And you know, and unfortunately, like I said, I wasn't able to make the Portland one, but I honestly have been thinking about how in the world of sectors and how EBFM would work. And I would just throw out an idea for the group to consider that if you wanted to proceed down this route, theoretically, I would almost think that you would need to take any and all boats that are interested in participating in your project, the EBFM EFIP, is that you'd almost need to create a separate sector and all those boats kind of go in that, because cross-managing, just thinking of being a manager of two different sectors and myself, I'm just trying to think, how would you manage some boats in the standard sector format versus this other format? And honestly, the way I manage it, everyone's getting treated all the same. I understand what program you may or may not be part of, but at the end of the day, it's kind of how the sector itself. So I would almost think about that you would want to have your own group of vessels in their own sector type themselves. So it's just an idea to kind of think about moving forward. I did have kind of a question slash statement related to, you know, you said that there was support. It seems to be through these meetings that there was support for EBFM, and I do see that, you know, there you had some participation, but I'm just looking at the numbers that you had. You had roughly 60 attendees. Unfortunately, you missed one meeting, so maybe you would have had more down in the Jersey region. Roughly half of them were fishermen, but one of six of those meetings, which was the most significantly attended, was the one in Montauk, which there was distinct opposition to this program. So my feeling is that we've got some support, we hear some support, we have some opposition, but we've only had a response really from a small component of the industry. To keep this process moving, I think we have need as a council, as an agency, as a group here, that we need to understand how much support there really is behind this EBFM movement. I'm not saying that I'm against it, I'm not saying I'm for it, but it just seems like these meetings, which we're trying to get the industry to understand and garner support through this process, I almost think that we need to get a better understanding overall of the industry that would be affected by through this EBFM prototype, how much support there really is behind it. And I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Mr. Smith and Mr. Tracy. Did you want to address that, Andy?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that today's presentation was focused on the workshops themselves. We hired Mr. Balfe to do some initial outreach. He spoke with, I don't remember the number of fishermen, processors, and others in part of that initial outreach, and he gave a report, I guess in June, I think it was, about that initial outreach, which summarized the input that we got, the responses that we got. In addition, last year we hired Greenfin Studio, and one of the first initial portions was to understand their audience, and there was an initial outreach there, which culminated in three stakeholder brochures which focused on issues that were important to those sectors of the fisheries and other interested parties. So, you know, if anybody wants to go back, let me know, and I'll point you in the right direction. Thank you.
If I could just add, Dan, I think that, I mean, it's always valid to ask, is there, you know, is it worth pursuing? Because it certainly is, it needs resources and the will of this committee. I think that my sense as a somewhat independent voice is that we certainly need to carry it through the next step to make it as real as possible, to really understand not just sort of the concepts or the frameworks, or this could go very badly for me, but, you know, here's how it would work, and here's the options. And so I think going through this next steps this next year then gets to a point where your question has even added validity, because we have a lot of information and feedback on specific options being explored and how this would be implemented.
Yeah, and I think that kind of goes to my question. Maybe that's why we're not seeing this groundswell of support. There hasn't been hard, concrete ideas of how this program would really work in real time. And I think that's what some of the industry is struggling with. Well, that is what the industry is struggling with, is it's a concept. It may be nebulous to some, but there is some basis behind it. But I think what the industry needs is how this will affect them directly. How would they participate in that directly? And if that's the nature of these next set of meetings, obviously that would be a great step to kind of get that understanding out there, and maybe that's where we start looking at where is and is there the support to keep moving forward. Sorry, I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Mr. Smith, then Mr. Tracy.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, Tom, for the presentation. I think Dan's comments kind of teed up the question that I had pretty well. So is it possible to go to the slide for the that describes some of the things that will be explored in the deep dive workshops? So I think Dan's point is really good that I think my sense from participating and listening is there's some interest in the concepts, but that it's all very theoretical right now, and that people really need to understand how this would work practically and pragmatically before they're going to decide whether they like it or not. And I think that this list of questions that you have up here to explore will be good. I'm curious sort of what the hope is for the deep dive workshops. Is there a hope to get consensus on the answers to these questions, or just to sort of continue to be in exploration mode and just gather input? Or I don't know if you've thought sort of through to, well, I'm not sure how many deep dive workshops will be, but really what the goal is to try to get out of those. And I'll just echo again what Dan said. I think we need to be as specific as possible about what it is that we are proposing to do through this approach in order to get meaningful input from the stakeholders. So I think having ideas on the answers to the questions on this slide going into those meetings might be helpful to, you know, elicit some comments on what this would look like going forward and whether it's a thing to continue to pursue or not. So any perspective on that would be appreciated. Looks like Andy has some.
Yeah, we had the MSE Steering Committee, as you recall, give us advice and guidance about conducting management strategy evaluation for ecosystem management. And they steered us in this direction of holding these outreach workshops. And so there are goals for what we want out of those workshops in those guidance documents from the MSE Steering Committee. And I think it'd be worthwhile at this point to take a step back and review those with the EBFM committee and make sure we're going in the right direction before holding the deep dive workshops.
All set, Jeff.
And just to add to that, I mean, as the facilitator, I think that, the facilitation during these workshops really became more of a listening session and trying to elicit as much information and a sense for the issues in the different communities. I think the role of the facilitator in the deep dive workshops would be more to get direct towards a specific outcome, or at least winnow it down to a couple of options to then to get to. But it would be exploratory only as it relates to trying to get to an actual outcome, maybe not a consensus opinion. That's pretty hard to get to, but at least a directed outcome. Thanks.
I think that's a good plan, and I think it will require some skillful and deft facilitation to get to that endpoint on those meetings. So if it is you doing it, good luck. I wish you well in it, because it'll be challenging.
Mr. Nice.
Yeah, there was something said earlier, and I forget exactly where in the presentation, that I think is different than how I remember us moving forward on this long-term project, which we started, I think, over 8 years ago. My recollection was that the plan was that we were going to try and pursue an EFEP and investigate it and try and flesh it out and see if we thought there were any benefits. And we were under the impression that, and then at some point we would make a decision whether we were actually going to implement an EFEP or whether we would take lessons learned from the EFEP and apply that some other way through our current management system rather than an overall EFEP. Somewhere in the course of this discussion, it seemed like that got turned around to say we would pursue an EFEP and maybe we would learn lessons that we could apply along the way as we implemented an EFEP. I'm not sure the council has actually made a firm decision yet that the ultimate end result of all this is that we're going to start an EFEP action and adopt it. There certainly has been no official adoption of a motion that says we're beginning development of a fishery management plan or amendment for an EFEP. So I just think it's important to keep that clear here as we're talking about it, so as not to confuse the public about exactly what stage we're at in this process. You know, we, as has been pointed out by a couple speakers, we have not really addressed a number of details in this EFEP yet, which, you know, may influence how people interpret this idea.
Yeah, I'll just take the mic for a second. My concern is during your presentation, you know, you're talking about having details for the public, and you said that it was early on in the process, which gives me some concern because, like Mr. Neese said, we're 7 or 8 years in, and I don't know what early in the process means going forward. So that's just my comment. So I have Mr. Tracy, then Mr. Belavance.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. And those are really helpful comments from Tom. You know, as someone who's, the last couple of months, we've learned a lot. Those of us that went to the CMOD, which we're going to talk about in a minute here, I guess, and then the workshops, the committee really has made a lot of progress, I feel, over these past months. And in some of my comments, I want to just kind of convey some of the things that I've learned as participating in those things, is, and maybe some clarifying, it may be helpful to some of the other members here. What we're doing is not what EBFM is. It is EBFM, but it's what we're doing. And one of the things I think you'll hear when we talk about the CMOD is, this is a, and what we learned is the EFEP for George's Bank and the work and all the questions that flow from it, which we certainly found out in the workshops, which there's a lot of questions coming. There's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of concern, which I think, you know, we could have anticipated. But this is how we're approaching it. And I do think that, you know, as one of the committee members, I think we're going to reevaluate or just talk about what is the best way forward, because the workshops really did teach us a lot. And Dan had, you know, Dan's comments were very similar to what we heard. Dan's were much more gentlemanly and nuanced, but, you know, some of the rooms were, they were coming hard, which is totally, you know, understandable, because here we are talking about how we're going to start handling George's Bank is all that they were hearing. And you can understand, it's certainly understandable, the concern that came from it. So we learned a lot about that. And all I want to add, and maybe I'll make comments about the CMOD too, what we learned there, is that EBFM is a concept. This particular project that we're talking about, that we did the workshops around, that created all the questions and feedback, that's what we're doing. And I know we've been working at it for a while. But what I don't want is all of us to say, well, this weird thing that nobody has firm answers to is what EBFM is, because it's not. EBFM, we're already doing the multi-species is an EFBM concept, complexes, you know, there's all kinds of things that other people are doing. Yesterday's presentation, the climate change scenario, the state of the ecosystem report, those are all EBFM components. And I just want to clarify that, because I think that's something that I really came to an awareness of, and I think it's helpful when you think about it that way, rather than getting stuck on, oh my God, how are fishing rights going to change on George's Bank, because that's what EBFM is. It's not. It's what we're doing, and it's really progressive, and it has potential to be, you know, I think we saw that from the other councils. There was interest in it, but it's a heavy lift, and I think we know that. The workshops reaffirm that, and it doesn't mean we're not going to do it, but it's just how it's a project within EBFM. So anyways, I just wanted to share that. That's something I thought might be helpful to some. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Tracy. Mr. Belavance, and then Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an observation. I was lucky enough to attend the workshop in Point Judith at Superior Trawl, and appreciate you coming down and all the presenters for the time they spent, and Mike for running that meeting. But An observation that I made from that meeting and listening to the fishermen that were there that have either spent a lot of time in these areas or currently spending a lot of their fishing year in these areas, it seems clear to me that that part of Nantucket Shoals that's considered an EFP, I think, needs to be looked at again and to see if that's really appropriate or not. They've got a lot of experience there, and I felt compelled to at least mention that I think that should be looked at again as far as the geographic footprint of any EFP that we put, EFEP that we put together. And then the other thought I had about your presentation today, and I think Mr. Salerno pretty much cleared up some of the thoughts I had, but I still struggle with the concept of a pilot program and how that would all come together. It seems like it's either like all in or not. Like, I don't know how you take half the people and put them in this FEP, but other half are just fishing the way they always were. So I'm still not clear on how that works. The conversation that you had with Dan was helpful to me to try to visualize that, but I just wanted to also mention that concern I had. Thank you.
Mr. Pierdnock and then Ms. Etrie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I participated and was one of the presenters of the introduction at a few of these different public meetings. And one thing that jumped out at me in relation to what's taken place the past few days is that with our discussions the past few days with different stocks and changing environmental conditions and the shift of those stocks and predator-prey relationships, initially with the discussions, what is ecosystem-based fishery management? And those were skeptical about that. But once you got into the discussions with what it was all about, and you got into predator-prey relationships and the changing conditions over time, what surprised me was how those in the room said, yeah. And actually at the Rhode Island one, there were those that said, we've been telling you about this for years, and you haven't been managing the fishery based upon those environmental conditions to the frustration. We needed this to happen a few years ago or several years ago. So that's what jumped out at me. And you know, as noted, is what is ecosystem-based fishery management? It's from the simple to the complex, and we're going to have some discussions a little later of nationally how that is different. So that is one point of where are we going to end up with that from a starting point and where we're going to go with it. Mr. Salerno, you're right on with what we heard with the concerns, especially at the commercial end, with allocations and also with the management. There's multi-species, there's multi-jurisdictional fish that go in and transit this area, that from the HMS to Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission to, you know, I could go on with the whole list. So then how do you deal with that? That kind of ties into our discussions yesterday with climate change and trying to deal with that and manage that accordingly. So, I just wanted to point that out with these change in environmental conditions, there was a positive spin that this may be a mechanism to try to address management of the stocks to address those conditions. But that's where, what is ecosystem-based fisheries management, and what is MSE as it relates to this or other species, which we're gonna get into a little bit later. Thank you.
Ms. Etrie, and then I'm gonna go to the public.
Thanks. Having sat on, I guess, the initial EBFM MSE steering committee, I think it's important to highlight that when that group was meeting and we were talking about it, there was a lot of focus on actually ways that you could use EBFM in the stock assessment process and maybe approaching EBFM and like smaller bites of the apple and things that were a little bit more obtainable in the current structure that we have versus, you know, the EFIP approach, which we understood was an example. But also, you know, and I can speak for myself, understands as it's designed because of the lack of clarity on legally what can happen, how things would work, it does create a lot of consternation. And EBFM as a concept is something that the majority of folks that are working within the fisheries we manage, they're not well versed in. So to the extent that these workshops help bring some educational component to what EBFM is, I think that that's great. But it's also very clear to me from discussions I had with some folks after, because I similarly, because of other commitments, was unable to attend any of their workshops, is that there's this growing consternation about what the end game is with this plan. And, you know, I'm thinking back to Terry Alexander and myself and others who have highlighted that the geographic range of the EFIP is actually not necessarily within the management range that folks are used to. We're now hearing concerns about Nantucket Shoals. And so I think as it relates to this discussion and next steps, and I know we're going to have that more in the priorities, I think it's really important for folks to think about what Executive Director Neese said, which is this council has made no decision one way or the other on what we're doing with the EFIP moving forward. There is a way to educate, to do an MSC, to do these things, but I think what would be helpful for me is if folks maybe spent some time between now and the priorities discussion looking at what we have for priorities, looking for the fact that there should be some better clarity, and maybe that will help us figure out paths forward. That's just my observation right now, because again, I think educating on EBFM is important. From a groundfish perspective, I hear no way. I'm burnt out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be the next case subject. I don't want to be the next beta. So I think that within that dynamic, it would be helpful when we get to priorities if we think how we can take this, what I do believe is important, and I, especially in the stock assessment side of things, could create some ways forward to think how we, what we do moving forward with this in our priorities discussion.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Etrie. Anyone from the public? Ms. Brady?
Bonnie Brady, Long Island Commercial Fishing Association. I was in attendance at the Montauk meeting, and those numbers are wrong. Somebody must have not filled out a signature. There were 23 fishermen in the room, plus myself. There wasn't, I think, Mike, you got to the third PowerPoint slide when the fishermen in the room started asking questions. No one, not one person there was in support of that. If you guys look to the initial discussions that created this behemoth, there's an appendix one or appendix I that isn't in the actual document. I had to ask for a copy of that. Of that, there were, I think, 41 overall stakeholder conversations. Seven of those were fishermen. One was a rec guy, well, charter guy from Montauk. There were over 14 ENGOs, some folks that were quasi-scientists, and two offshore wind representatives. New York fishermen, first of all, we were Southern New England, we are Southern New England, and suddenly with this new process, Southern New England is getting swallowed whole. That was after we got cut out of the groundfish fishery, when we were Southern New England, and when everyone else still had a full day at sea, we had 200 pounds of this or 300 pounds of that. New York fishermen specifically, because of some of the state-by-state management, have gone to great lengths to not only have New York permits for various species, but buy permits from other states, North Carolina, Virginia, at great expense, and to possibly learn that they're going to be swallowed up whole, where now everybody can catch some of the total energy of the project. It's just the last straw for these guys, similar to what Libby was mentioning regarding groundfish. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Brady. Mr. Fletcher and then Mr. O'Neill. Go ahead, James. Hang on, is he self-muted? Go ahead, James.
Okay. I spoke to Dr. Alphagate probably 8 to 10 years ago on change in fisheries management. And maybe this ecosystem-based fisheries management would give us a way to allow all catch to be landed and sold. then the managers could decide what they wanted to be landed. But there would be no discards, there would be no waste of product, and there would be product on the market from some fishermen from Carolina to Canada every day in the New York market, whatever. I am hopeful that you will step back and look if it's possible to go to a dollar value per boat as a way of managing.